Going Linux, episode 416, listener feedback. Welcome to the Going Linux podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy.
And I'm your co-host, Bill.
Whether you are new to Linux, upgrading from Windows to Linux, or just thinking about moving to Linux, this podcast will provide you with valuable information and advice that will help you in going Linux.
We hope that you find this and all our episodes helpful in learning about Linux and open source applications and using them to get things done.
If you want to send us feedback, our email address is goinglinux@gmail.com. And our voicemail line, if you want to send us something by voicemail, is 1-904-468-7889.
In today's episode, listener feedback.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Let's hope that 2022 is better than 2021.
Can't be much worse, but you never know. That's what I said about 2021 over 2020. So we'll see how it goes. Yeah. So how, just generally speaking, how was your New Year, Bill?
It was okay. I was home sick, thinking that it might have been COVID, but hopefully it's not, because I never did lose any taste or smell. So hopefully it's just a nasty bug. And so basically I was, when the ball fell, I was in bed by 8:30.
Yeah, yeah.
It fell without me.
So there you go. You're sounding good. Let's just put it that way. So hopefully you're as healthy as you sound. And if you're not feeling so well, hopefully you get better quickly. My New Year was a little eventful here and there, trying to catch flights. I went to Texas to visit my son. And traveling over any holiday is never a joy. So to make a long story short, we had some flight cancellations, rebooking of flights and delays and all that sort of stuff. But we made it through. We survived. And like you, we went to bed early on New Year's Eve. So we're feeling good.
Yeah. You see the ball fall once, you've seen it all. So.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen it way too many times. So anyway, from happy and New Year, we move on to a sad topic. We have an update on Tom, and some of you may have seen it in our Discord chat and various other places. But Tom has, our former co-host, for those of you new to the show, Tom was co-host of the Going Linux podcast from August of 2007 through to April of 2013. And just before the new year, in the middle of December, Tom passed away. And I'll read a little bit of something that I put into the Discord chat just to honor Tom during this episode. Tom began as a Going Linux listener who wanted to contribute to the podcast. I started as a Linux newbie who, due to his curiosity and willingness to try new things, developed some mad Linux skills. A running joke at Tom's expense began when listener and fellow podcaster Nightwise described Tom's experimentation as removing bolts from a jet engine in mid-flight. He helped many listeners over the years to solve their issues, answered many questions, and assisted many to build their confidence and competence using the Linux operating system. We will all miss him dearly, and we will post a link to his obituary in the show notes.
Yeah, kind of heartbroken about that. I spoke with Tom probably about a year ago when his health started declining, and I stayed in touch with his sister who would send updates. Tom was a good friend, even off the podcast we'd spend hours talking, but I was thinking of something that that kind of made me smile about, you know, his curiosity. If you remember back, Larry, Tom was having all these issues with his Ubuntu install, and we couldn't figure out what was going on. And then you asked me, said, which did you pave a nuke? This was back when they suggested that you do that. You know, you could still upgrade, but you know they were still working out how to do those upgrades without messing up stuff. And he had been upgrading his Ubuntu for like 6 versions.
Yeah, and, yeah. Upgrade after upgrade, yeah.
And so we're like, you probably need to nuke that. He didn't want to do that. I remember he wanted to see how many upgrades he could go before he finally would die, and I think he got to like 6. And he would spend hours trying to figure out what was going on, and we're like, oh, just nuke it and start over, Tom. But yeah, Tom was a fun guy to be around. And I remember I was having problems with a modem. That's what I said, modem. And
right.
And we could we worked on it. Tom was saying, try this. And, okay, enter this. And come to find out, you know, 3 hours later that it was a wind modem. We couldn't get it to work. But we had a great time. I mean, stuff like Tom was always willing to help. And I'm going to dearly miss him. He was a good guy.
Yeah, the thing that I remember very, very vividly is the thing that caused Nightwise to even talk about Tom in the context of changing the bolts on a flying airplane was when Tom would do things like, oh, I don't know, upgrade during a podcast on the machine he was using to record. It's just, you know, I'm amazed that he was able to just keep that thing working, let alone anything else. But he was an amazing guy. And like you said, and like many have said, we'll miss him dearly.
He will always be part of the show. And I'm just still kind of heartbroken about that. I know some of our long-term listeners have probably talked to him or sent him email, and he's helped out people. And there's not much more to say. Is that he was a good guy, and it's going to be dearly missed.
Yeah, and our first email, in fact, is from Nightwise, who wrote a note about Tom. You want to go ahead and read Nightwise's email?
Nightwise wrote, "Hey Larry, I just heard from Door to Door Geek the sad news of Tom's passing. I want to offer my condolences to you and his family. He will be missed, and I take solace in the fact that many of us will still be able to hear his insightful comments and his raspy, hearty laugh in the many recordings of the Going Linux you did together. He will be missed. Thoughts and prayers are with you. Kind regards, Nightwise."
Thanks for those thoughts, Nightwise. All right. Well, let's move on to other listener feedback, shall we?
Yeah.
Okay. Our first, second feedback is from Biku, who wrote us about file permissions from our last listener feedback episode. "Hi there, Larry and Bill, and the listeners. A listener complained in episode number 414 about messed up file permissions and NTFS partition. Solution to this is relatively simple. There is a file called /etcfstab, so /etc/fstab. You can control pretty much every aspect of mount options for your drives. yeah, we didn't get into that as a solution during our last episode, but that's a good point. Bhikkhu continues, today I'm going to just focus on the NTFS partition. Now, for example, I have two partitions with NTFS file system. First is SDA1, or drive 1, and the second is SDA2. How do you know what your drives are called? You simply run a command called lsblk space dash f. So lsblk dash f. And it lists all of your partitions and drives with all of the necessary information and in a nicely formatted way. Okay, so on drive SDA1, I have some very important stuff, and I don't want anyone apart from the root superuser to be able to write to it. Everyone can read this stuff from it, but only the root users can write to it. To achieve this, all I need to do is to add the following entry to the fstab file. You'll have to edit this with root or sudo permissions. He can includes a command that's too long to read here, so we'll include it in the show notes. But the data in my drive, SDA2, is not that important, and I don't mind giving up write access to normal user for this drive. All users will be able to write and read from SDA2. I can manage this by adding an fstab entry like this, and he describes that in a command. And finally, we need to create those mount points. Open terminal and run this command as root or with sudo. And so sudo mkdir, so he's making a directory, slash mnt slash sda1 and slash msd slash sda2. Pretty straightforward. Both of these entries will correctly set the permissions to 644 and the directory permissions to 755. I hope this will be of help to your listeners. Keep up the great work, guys. Bhikkhu. Well, thank you for that.
And we include in the show notes, you can actually make sure that never put any commands into the terminal until you know what they do. But I'm sure there's nothing nefarious about these. But the other part is it makes them real easy to, you can copy and paste.
Yeah, exactly. But be careful, because if you have an NVMe drive on your machine or something other than identified as SDA1 or SDA2, these won't work for you. You'll need to modify them. And if your file format is not NTFS, you'll need to change that as well. So look up the details on the internet about editing an fstab file, and you'll find lots of help there. And yeah, how you should be doing it.
Yeah. So our next email comes from Highlander, who told us about bootloader customizations. He writes, for a while now, I've known that it was possible to customize the Grub bootloader. Grub customizer has been used for years now. Recently, I found that it is possible to also put your choice of picture in the background of the bootloader screen.
Yeah, we should probably define this for new listeners. Okay. So Grub is the bootloader that actually starts Linux on your system. And if you are dual booting or multiple booting, Grub is what lets you select the operating system that you want to boot to. So it is truly a bootloader. So continue.
Yes. While logged into your administer user account, use the file manager to put your picture into /boot/grub. You will need to right-click on the name of your user account inside the file manager and then click open as root. Find this file folder /boot/grub. When you are in that folder, you can right-click and then click paste. If your picture has a .png file extension, it should work reasonably well for you. You will probably get the best results by using Grub Customizer, Thunar File Manager, and terminal command sudo space update /grub without quotes inside Linux Mint. Have fun. And okay. We have included a link to the in the show notes for Group Customizer available in the Ubuntu repository and a link to an article on why you shouldn't use it. The decision is up to you. We are presenting both sides.
And we'll let you read that for homework. And if you're not using the Thunar file manager or a Linux Mint, use whatever file manager your Linux distribution provides. And it should all work the same either way. But I would encourage you to read that, why you shouldn't use Grub Customizer before you actually use it. I'm not saying whether you should or shouldn't, but read that article. It gives you some compelling reasons one way or another. All right. A listener called Admin provided us feedback for Jim. Hi, first-time listener. Jim wrote in about seeking a distro with default permissions to his liking. His concern is someone reading or executing files in his home folder due to them being set to -RWX, if I understand correctly, 0777. In other words, anyone has permission to do anything, including executing files. That's what that permission means. This is very strange that he is encountering multiple distros that do that. I suspect there is a UMask setting in his Bash RC file that he's been taking along with him that's the culprit, maybe. Or that the directories are all set with the execute flag to enable others to access files with the execute permission. He should run man login.defs to see how to change the default UMask in the /etc/login.defs so that new file creations will have the permissions he wants. And he provides a lengthy command string that we won't even bother providing in the show notes, but you can look that up by searching for UMask, U-M-A-S-K, and reading the details about how to change things in UMask and taking a look at that login.defs file. He also continues saying, note, above, UMask is a mask, not a permissions setting. I created a file that everyone but me could read and write. Check bashrc for overriding options as an alternative to set UMask, which is exactly what Biku had suggested. So we're talking about a similar solution here. He continues, I'm not sure I understand Jim's threat model, though, unless he's running a multi-user system and doesn't trust his other users, family, usually. Someone who's able to execute files in his home folder has already won and pwned his machine. Finally, I'd like to invite any BC-based, that's British Columbia-based, Linux users or users in places containing a B, or a C, or neither, to check out the newly formed BC Linux Users Group. That's a British Columbia Users Group. It'd be nice to have a group of enthusiasts to hang out online with, and even IRL, when possible. And the link will be in the show notes, but it's pretty simple. It is BCLUG, so BC Linux Users Group, .ca. Don't type .com or you'll end up somewhere on an East Coast Linux users group in the United States. So bclug.ca is where you want to go. And I have been exchanging some email messages with admin and helping to get that website accessible again. So I think we're set up. Last time I checked, it works just fine. So you should be able to access that Linux Users Group and join up if you're interested.
Okay. Our next email comes from Biku again, who wrote about Elementary OS. Hi there, Larry and Bill. 415 was fascinating as always, really enjoyed it. Elementary OS to me has always been like a beautiful woman without a heart and a soul. Gorgeous and attractive from a certain distance But as you get to know her a bit more, you start asking yourself why I loved her in the first place. I'll let Bill discover these oddities without going into detail. I'll give one hint, though. Start the default software manager and try installing a few applications from the viewpoint of a new user. Here is my take on the GNU Linux distros and who should try them first. Someone who doesn't know anything about computers and who hasn't used any operating system, and he says Debian. An average computer user would be Linux Mint. Intermediate computer user would be OpenSUSE Tumbleweed or Fedora. Advanced computer user would be Slackware or Arch. Expert of all things Gentoo or BLFS. I don't know what BLFS stands for.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know either.
Master of Technology Universe builds your own kernel and other associated darn things. Sorry about the formatting or lack of it in this email, as I'm sending it via a mobile device and they suck. Keep up the great work. P.S. Bill, what does 73 mean? Regards, Biko. Okay. Thanks, Biko. I know what you're talking about. Elementary does have some quirks, and I'll cover that one. This is definitely not going to be my go-to daily driver, but I wanted to test out and see what's changed. I would disagree with some of your suggestions. For someone who hasn't used Linux at all, I would not suggest Debian. I would suggest an Ubuntu-based. We here suggest for brand new users Ubuntu Mate, just because of its community and also its user friendliness. Linux Mint would be another good for a first time user and average computer user. For intermediate user, OpenSUSE Tumbleweed, I don't think I would suggest that for an intermediate user. Maybe Fedora if you're looking, but I would suggest Manjaro for intermediate and advanced users. And advanced users, definitely Arch. Slackware, if you're feeling like you want a challenge, I would say Arch is probably the one that someone who really wants to get in the weeds would want to use. And for all things computer, Gentoo, yeah, I guess. I tried it, and no, not for me. And then Master of Technology Universe, all those don't do it, yeah, then it's, what's that, Linux from scratch, there you go. It's basically you do everything.
And, yeah, while you were responding, I looked up what BLFS is, and it's Beyond Linux from Scratch. And according to the website, it is a project that continues where the LFS book finishes. It assists users in developing their systems according to their, and continues on from there. So Beyond Linux from Scratch. There you go.
Yeah.
So,
I would think I'll stay with Manjaro or Ubuntu. I don't have time to build an entire system from scratch. I mean, it'd be fun if you had the time, but I don't have that kind of time. And 73 is a amateur radio sign-off. That's basic means over and out, or have a good night, or, you know, see you next time. All those just are covered by 73. So 73 is just basically you're signing off and you're done your transmission. So yeah. Thanks.
So basically it's ham radio for bye.
Yeah. See ya. Yeah. I gave what I would thought they should use for each stage of a Linux user. What would you say, Larry?
Yeah, I think in general, I tend to agree with the direction that Bhikkhu's going on this. I think Ubuntu Mate has a place in there for the average computer user, either, you know, alongside Linux Mint. Either one would do just fine for the average computer user who wants to use Linux to get things done, as we say, but also for people who want to experiment around with a solid distribution that can accomplish their work or their personal computing without having to mess around too much with it, but yet give you the power that if you do want to mess around with it, you can do it from within the distribution that you're using day to day. But the rest, you know, and I agree with you, Bill, Linux from scratch is definitely a master of the universe kind of thing.
Well, I stay away from all things based on RPM because I have not had good luck. And anybody who doesn't know what RPM, it's the package format for Fedora and CentOS and some of the others. I prefer, just probably because that's what I originally started with. I do like the dip package format, but you know, Manjaro kind of won a little happy spot in my heart too. So I don't know. I just you can. I think one thing we do need to just say is that any of these Linuxes can be used by an new user, average user, intermediate user, advanced. You don't have to switch your distribution. You can learn everything you need to and play with any of the Linuxes. The only one that I would say is not a good starting is the Expert of All Things Computer. The Gentoo or Beyond Linux from Scratch or something like that, I think is something that is for someone that has plenty of time and a spare computer, because I read the book, or I read parts of the book, and I'm like, no. I'm for trying things, but not that quite that much. So, you know, any Linux distribution can teach you how to do everything you need to know or you can experiment with. So, you know, if you pick Ubuntu Mate, you can play around with that and for forever if you want. If you like that, you know, so you're not limited. You don't have to switch to learn some of the more advanced features.
Yep, you bet. Okay, our next email is from Jack, who has issues with his address book. And Jack and I exchanged some emails to get him going on this, but let's just read his email, his initial email. Greetings, Bill and Larry. I love your podcast, always watching for latest episode. I am preparing to go full Linux Mint. Not necessarily, though. Windows is getting just insane. My problem is address books, which, aside from addresses, I use as a database for email address and information, as well as account names and passwords. Perhaps I could use a password manager for some of it. Generally, the Windows books I have can export the data to a CSV file. My problem lies with the Linux address books I have tried so far. I have not figured out how to import the data from CSV. Am I missing something? I do not see an important option. Command line still poses a mental block for me. Your help will be greatly appreciated. Thanks, Jack in Ottawa, Canada. So, before I describe what Jack and I had talked about, any thoughts on importing address books, Bill?
No, because I don't use address books. So.
Yeah, I use address books online in Gmail, basically.
My Gmail or my my work email, I have an address book, but as far as account names and passwords, I definitely don't keep any of that stuff in my...
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not sure that a password manager is the right place to keep email addresses. So Jack and I exchanged some emails. First, I made the assumption that he was using Thunderbird based on the distribution he said he was trying. And provided him a link to importing an address book into Thunderbird from a CSV file. And we'll include that LifeWire link in the show notes. Jack responded saying, "Great idea. I never thought of it. Can you point me to a freestanding address book as well?" And the only freestanding address book that I'm aware of, and there may be others, for Linux, is the GNOME Contacts application. And it is available in the Debian-based distributions that you and I use. Bill, it's also available as a snap if you wanted to install it on Ubuntu Mate, or if your Linux distribution supports or can support snaps. There's a snap for GNOME-Contacts available. And essentially that does just what it says on the tin. It manages your contacts for you in an independent database outside of the email databases where most contacts are managed by most things these days, like Evolution or Empathy or Thunderbird or something like that. But this is a standalone contacts manager for Linux. And of course, although it's for GNOME, you can use it just about anywhere. So there you go. We'll have, like I said, we'll have a link to GNOME Contacts. We'll have a link in the show to GNOME Contacts, as well as to the how-to for importing contacts into an address book. And it should work regardless of what your address book is. There's similar sorts of instructions for that.
Okay.
There you go.
Don't you wish it was just everybody would agree on one format?
Yeah, but that kind of defeats the purpose of open source, where you have the blessing and the curse of many, many, many choices as to how you do things.
Yeah, but at least just agree on this, at least one that everybody shares.
Hey, CSV files. Just keep it in a CSV file and open it that way.
Okay.
There you go.
So Michael wrote us, and he has questions about sound level dropping. He writes, "I am having an issue in Solus Linux where the sound volume is low, so I cannot hear Orca when I try to log in." Just for anybody that doesn't know, Michael's one of our blind listeners, and he relies on Orca to get running. He continues, "I have been told I need to change from Pulse Audio to ALSA or Pipewire or something, as Pulse Audio has a bug where it doesn't switch devices properly from switch between headphones and laptop speaker. How do I change from Pulse Audio to ALSA or Pipewire? I think this issue happens in Ubuntu Mate as well. Happy Christmas, Michael from Home First," I think is how you say it. So, Larry, does this happen in Ubuntu Mate? Because I'm trying to think on how he would change that.
Yeah. I can't speak to Solus at all. But yes, it does. It does happen in Ubuntu Mate. And it doesn't. By saying that it doesn't switch properly, it doesn't switch automatically between sources. It doesn't consistently switch between sources is probably a better way to describe it. So my solution is go into the sound settings, and when you go in there, at least in Ubuntu Mate, and I imagine that it's going to be the same in most Linux distributions it has in my experience, you select the hardware you want to go to and then the output. So, for example, mine switches just fine from the onboard speakers to the headphones and back again when I want it to, but it doesn't switch between an HDMI output and the built-in speakers on my laptop automatically. So I always find myself having to select either HDMI or the built-in speakers manually. So I routinely do this. I just open the sound preferences, go to the output tab, and select what I want. So it's not a big process to do that. And I would try that before swapping out the audio system in my Linux distribution.
Yeah.
And I think any distribution, I could be wrong on this, but any distribution that uses Pulse Audio also has ALSA, the predecessor to Pulse Audio, already pre-installed. And so I think you're already using ALSA. Pipewire is something else. It's related to the Jack audio system one way or another, and that can get pretty complicated. So I think Pipewire may be the direction that Ubuntu-based distributions are going to in the future, but I'm not sure that everything has accepted that yet. And again, I don't know how Solus handles this, but I would, if I were you, Michael, just try your sound settings and manually switch if that's giving you a problem. And I don't know whether the issue is that it is not switching to the output, because your symptom is that the volume is low. It's possible that it's set low in, like each, it's possible that because each output source, whether that's laptop speakers or HDMI speakers or something else, each has their own volume control. It could be that when it's switching from one to the other, that the volume for that particular device is set low. And if you simply push the slider over or increase the volume with keys on your keyboard for that output, that it's going to work just fine the next time you select that output. So I tried those before switching out the sound, the guts of your sound system, unless, you like tinkering around with stuff.
Yeah, and without knowing a lot about how Solus handles stuff, I'm kind of at a loss on how they put that system together. I probably need to look at it again. I haven't looked at it in a year or so.
Yeah, but try the simple stuff first, Michael.
Yeah, simple first.
Yes, there you go. Thanks. And our last email is from Scott, who provided us some feedback asking if he should be distro hopping. Larry and Bill, I have been using Linux since 2017. I am a Mint user and never used another distro. It is perfect for my needs, surfing, web-based games, etc. My question, am I missing out by not trying another distro? Scott. You may be missing some experiences, but if, as you say, Linux Mint is perfect for your needs, I would stick with it, unless you want to experiment with some things. And if you have a spare computer, you could try distro hopping on that spare computer. If you don't, you could try installing a virtual machine manager of some sort, like VMware or VirtualBox or QEMU. And the way that I use that is I have just installed from the Ubuntu repository something called Virtual Machine Manager, which is their application name for what uses QEMU. Any of those will create a virtual machine that will allow you to install another Linux distribution without making any changes to your existing Linux Mint. And in fact, you can run it from within a window within Linux Mint. And that would probably be the first step if you really want to try something new and you don't have a spare machine. And then the next alternative would be to dual boot so that you can switch back and forth at will. But that, of course, would require that you choose which distribution you want to use and can take up some additional disk space beyond the virtual machine.
Yeah, I would suggest along the same lines of what Larry said, just since you say Mint is perfect for you and for everything you need, if you want to try different distros and your system is beefy enough, I would definitely go the virtual machine route. Distro hopping, I've done a lot of it, if you've, and now I pretty much, I don't change my distros very often. I still hop once in a while for, to test things for, just to see what's changed. But as if it, if Linux Mint is, working great, I would say you're not missing anything. You might see some flashy, stuff from another distro and think, oh, that's so great, but then realize, oh, I don't like it as much. So Linux Mint's a solid distro. So if you like what it's given you, I would say just use virtual machines.
Yep, I think so too. And it's really up to you. If you want to experiment around, that's really your choice. I think in terms of day-to-day use, you're probably not missing anything. Any Linux distribution can meet the requirements of your perfect distribution if you like. But if you do want to test around and see what other desktop environments are like or what other distributions do for package managers or, you know, especially if you want to try out RPM versus the Debian, and that'll give you an idea of how much Linux Mint has actually put in place to make it easy for the user to use versus some other distributions who may not have added as much polish, let's just put it that way, as Linux Mint has done. So up to you, but we've given you suggestions as to how to do that without messing up your perfect day-to-day distribution of Linux Mint.
Yeah, also remember that there are most of the main distributions have live USB images that you can use that to boot your computer and take a look around the what their distribution offers without ever touching your perfect Linux Mint. So there's another option.
Yeah, absolutely. Good thought there. Okay, I think that brings our episode to an end. I actually have an application pick based on a tip that I picked up. I think it was in the Ubuntu Mate forums or somewhere. I stumbled across it. It is Brightness Control 2.0. It lets you adjust external monitor's brightness. So if you're using a monitor, an external monitor, or television as an external monitor, sometimes adjusting the brightness on the screen is something you wish you had the ability to do from within the operating system. And this gives you the ability to do that. So it adjusts monitor brightness and temperature. And we'll include a link in the show notes to Brightness Controller 2.0. Use at your own risk. I haven't really tried it out, but it promises to be a pretty good addition to your utilities for Linux.
And I don't have an application pick, so.
Okay. All right. Well, with that in mind, our next episode will be a tribute to Tom. Until then, you can go to our website at goinglinux.com for articles and show notes, as well as links to download and subscribe. We provide the website for computer users who just want to use Linux to get things done.
And if you'd like, you can participate directly with our friendly and helpful community members by joining the discussion in our Going Linux podcast community on community.goinglinux.com.
Until next time, thanks for listening.
73.
Theme music provided by Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com.